I know I don't know much about you, but racing through my head are thoughts about you. Yeah, you know I never try to hurt you, you know, and I hate to see you go. Yeah, I got something to say, wishful thinking, babe.
What's up, PodChat listeners? This is your host, Jordan Smith. Coming to you here with co-host. It's a dual co-host episode. I got Quinn Kaiser, who you have heard on the first two episodes, and Roger Brandstetter, who was on the subsequent third. Again, this is just your average podcast based off some of the conversations that we have had in the group chat, hence the name Pod Chat. So let's get it going right away. Oh, before I forget, you can get this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. I'm trying to get it on as many mediums as possible. But today what we're going to do, we're going to talk a little bit about current events. We would be pretty remiss if we didn't chat about what had happened in Las Vegas, the worst shooting in American history. And then we will be doing some random topics that I'm literally going to draw from a hat. So let's get started. Who wants to rant first a little bit about what's going on? And before you speak, maybe say your first name this first time around so people can know your voice.
I'll go. So this is Roger. I was on episode 3 of Pod Chat. You can follow me at Raj_Podge on Twitter. I would say follow me on Instagram, but I honestly don't post anything of note other than cat pictures and occasionally the odd frittata or taco that I make for dinner.
Cat pictures are okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, the cat, you can follow at Buster in Bow Ties on Instagram. Those are going to be much more high quality pictures. Buster's a very good cat. It's really, really photogenic. So I would recommend following at Buster in Bow Ties over my personal Instagram handle if you have the opportunity and the drive to do so. So I guess I'll go first with the rant.
That wasn't the rant. That was a good rant.
Nah, I just really like cat pictures. So I guess my rant would, I don't know, I'm just looking, I checked in the news now, I just got back from Bar Trivia. As of this morning, when I woke up, a little bit later than most, probably, I don't know, I checked the news, I saw there's another mass shooting, and it just gets really, really, it's hard to, like, you're obviously still outraged and saddened by it, but it's really hard to be surprised by it. I mean, there's not any change to legislation or guidance or even tone in the country surrounding this epidemic. And I mean, the longer it goes on, the more different things that people on either side of this gun preference are going to say about this issue. But it's not like there's really even two sides to this issue. It's no one, not a single like sane American is for massacres like this. It's insane. And I think that it isn't good for legal, sane, law-abiding gun owners that this constantly occurs on way more than an annual basis. I mean, there's the one major one you can point out by year. I mean, statistically, there's like this one huge shooting per year. So this year it's this. A couple of years ago it was Newtown. I mean, it goes all the way back. And until we change some, I feel like people are expecting different results, different outcomes from not changing any legislation surrounding being able to purchase these guns that can kill, it says 59 people. Like, that's insane. I had heard that the guy fired for 10 seconds or 10 minutes. Like, it's this really, really short amount of time, and all of these people just, they didn't have a chance. That's insane to me. And I mean, it's in Las Vegas where people go on vacation with their families, and it's no one goes there for anything other than fun. That's what Vegas is all about, and 59 people are not going home, and that's tragic. End of rant.
Yeah, absolutely. That I reiterate that it's tragic. Obviously, immediately thoughts, prayers. There's so many stories of folks coming out, and of there's a lot of touching stories too of people being saved and first responders, and the normal news cycle that you'd expect, which kind of fills me personally with a lot of different emotions. Like, I woke up this morning to a Twitter alert about it, and it kind of just, like, it's like numb to it. Like, I just got ready for work, and like it was in the back of my mind, but at the same time seemed distant from me. Trying to do a better job of personalizing some of these issues a little bit, especially because I think they're issues that we need to be talking about with all kinds of folks in our lives, and I wouldn't want it to become a thing like Sandy Hook, where Sandy Hook didn't even get mentioned in your list of massacres, but it's a big chunk of elementary school children who didn't make it home after school. And I don't think we should forget anybody that has passed in a tragic killing like this, but I think it's on us to also, I mean, discuss how do we prevent this, and that should have been on us years ago. And of course, you go through that news cycle, it's pretty predictable at this point. Thoughts and prayers, figure out gunmen's motives connected to terrorism, not terrorism, determine that, determine their political party. The left brings up gun control, the right says give us a day. A day passes, thoughts and prayers, and we move on. And that's exactly what's happening here, and I don't think... I think something in that, of course, needs to change. It shouldn't be something that goes away. It shouldn't be in the back of our minds, and only brought up the day after, the couple days after. But I think it's important for folks, when they do discuss it, to discuss it with people in their lives who are on both sides, because I think this is an every person issue in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, with... the last numbers I saw, 58 dead, another 515 people injured. Like, people are literally still in surgery, trying to get to every local hospital that can actually handle that amount of people coming in. And there's the psychological toll, the emotional damage. They need trauma counselors out there. When you're talking about, like, all these mass shootings, like... I'm going to obviously be thinking about the families, and I saw some of the pictures from CNN of the people that were lost in this, like, really senseless tragedy, but I'm pissed. Like, people need to get pissed. Like, fuck the right that wants to tell you to, like, hold off, we need to think about our thoughts and our prayers. Like, sorry, your social media thoughts and prayers aren't going to do anything about it. We need to have proper legislation in place. I'm thinking of all these mass shootings. These people were at a concert enjoying their life. Like, they were in Vegas just trying to enjoy themselves. The people that were gunned down in Orlando last year, were trying to enjoy a night out at a club. Like, how many of us have just wanted to go out and enjoy a night at a club, and all of a sudden you lose your life, you get injured, or you see somebody you love die? Sandy Hook, same thing. Kids are just at school. I mean, they're at school. You shouldn't have to be afraid of that. I live in Denver, so I hear a lot about what happened at Aurora with the Dark Knight shooting. They literally won't even have midnight premieres of movies over here anymore. It's like, you shouldn't have to fear for your life going to a movie. Like, I would just want to watch a Batman movie. And you have to actually fear for your life of being, like, contained in a movie theater. Like, whenever I'm sitting there, I'm clocking the exits. I'm taking a look around to see how do I get out of here if something goes down, because people are crazy. People have access to automatic weapons. People are getting gunned down at places that are supposed to be safe, but they're losing their lives to weapons that only belong on a battlefield. It's like I said before, there's literally no better time to start talking about what could have prevented this. I'm sure you guys all saw the tweet today. Shouts to Jason Concepcion. He said, if I get gunned down and, like, slaughtered, I want people to wait 0 seconds to start talking and thinking about what could have prevented that. Like, I feel the exact same thing.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, it's insane to me that people want to wait to talk about, like, when is the best time to talk about this other than when it happens? And yes, of course, you want to respect the families, but I don't think that anyone who just had a son, daughter, father, mother, anyone related to them, a friend, is someone they might have, like, known in passing. If you had someone that you were friendly with die from gun violence, and there's a way to have prevented that, you should want to talk about that immediately. We don't wait a few seconds. We waited 3 days after 9/11 to authorize war against Afghanistan. I don't think that if this many people die based on something that is possibly able to be prevented, that we should wait. Why in God's name would we wait? There's people that die every single day. Like, at least dozens die every day due to gun violence.
This man had...
And on a day like today, it's 59 at once in a city that is built around having fun. I just don't get it. And I understand that some people, like, really enjoy having guns and going hunting and owning and firing firearms, but I don't think that that needs... Their right to enjoy that doesn't need to be infringed upon in order to protect the greater good. And if this guy is firing an automatic weapon into a crowd, that's just...
This man had 23 guns in that hotel room and another 19 at his house. There's no reason to have that much firepower, ammunition, like, absolutely none. That is not for hunting purposes. There's no way you should be able to get your hands on...
Yes.
That
so I'm
sort of
16 in the room, which, by the way, still way too many. There's a way that this is detected and circumvented prior to this occurring. I mean, there's. I was talking about this at dinner tonight. It's like a weird. If a political candidate of any variety were to bring this up, they'd be accused of, like, just bringing up issues for the sake of bringing up issues. But if somehow we had nationalized healthcare where everyone had access to, let's just say, for the sake of argument, psychological evaluations, where everyone prior to buying a gun would have to go to a psychologist and just get checked out, make sure you're not prone to suicide, you don't have depression, you're not an antisocial person prior to getting a gun or 16 guns, maybe some of these get prevented, or maybe, I don't know, maybe the suicide rate goes down by a little bit. I don't know. It's really maddening that there's this entire wing of the country that doesn't want any limits on the Second Amendment, but there's all these limits on every single other amendment in the Bill of Rights. And I don't think that any of them, other than freedom of speech, is really more valuable than another. It's just very frustrating to have an argument about this, because it's not like I'm against people having guns. I mean, God, we're all from Wisconsin. We all know people that love hunting, and if you infringe their right to have guns, they're not going to be able to do something that they love. But, I mean, 60 people are dead because this guy got a machine gun and went to Vegas.
Yeah, I love how... Having the right to carry a military-grade weapon is a right, but then healthcare is a privilege. That's America 2017.
Yeah, I think that might dive off into an entirely another topic. I want to stick to where we're at with weapon laws in Nevada. Actually, I'd like to actually discuss the law, because I think that's important too on both sides. To you see the hashtag gun control now. Okay, so what does that mean? Does that mean taking all my guns away? What does that look like? So I'm on NevadaCarry.org, right on their homepage. I'll read you guys off basically their gun law basics, and stop me when you want to talk about something or maybe flag something, okay?
Deal.
All right, so concealed weapon permits are shall issue, and open carry is legal without a permit.
What?
Nevada.
Wait, stop.
What
kind of permit? Like,
can you read that just one more time?
Sure. Basically, open carry is legal without a permit.
Oh, so you can just have a gun without a permit.
Yes.
But also flaunt it.
No,
okay.
Open carry your gun. You need to have a permit for the gun, but you can just open carry it without a permit to open carry it.
Oh, okay. So there's... Okay, separate permits. Gotcha.
Next line. Nevada does not ban assault weapons, and there is no magazine capacity limit.
Okay, like, yeah, sure, just have as many bullets as you want. Give them out like fucking parade candy.
A little bit held up, like, even with hunters, like, okay, you want to hunt deer with an AR-15. Look, dude, I get it. I sometimes like to play video games on easy mode. But, like, if you can't hit a deer with... I don't know what a standard magazine is. I'm not a gun guy. I feel like a lot of the people that are listening to this are not gun people, generally. I'm sure some are, but if you can't hit a deer with whatever it is, 10 bullets, 8, 12, it doesn't... If you can't hit them with a regular capacity magazine, you don't deserve to kill the deer. I'm sorry, that's on you.
I'm also going to need you to stop hunting if you can't, because that means you're a bad shot.
It's an AR-15. It's meant to kill ISIS dudes and Osama bin Laden, and you can't kill a deer with 12 bullets?
Anyway, keep going,
absolutely.
Quinn.
That part right there is where I jump off immediately. Okay, sure. Own an assault weapon. I don't feel exactly great about that, but if we're going to talk about it, at least let's talk about that magazine capacity limit. There is absolutely no need to have just unlimited shells to unload on anything. Even if it's for fun, it seems like overkill to me. There has to be a limit at some point. The next line after that is there are no purchase permits, gun registration, or gun owner licensing, which seems to not be great.
I'm not sure what all of that necessarily means, but it sounds like they don't document anything from what you just said.
That's what it means. There is no waiting period mandated for firearm purchases, and private gun sales are okay.
See, that's the problem. People can go in and pass a background check and get any sort of weapon they want, but if they're going to turn around and flip that gun on their own, it doesn't take a black market to do so, and you could literally sell that to anybody who asks you.
It takes Craigslist, which is a thing that definitely exists.
Yes.
I think the argument on the right at this point here is those folks are going to get their gun anyway, whether you have permits, whether you need longer waiting periods. No matter what permits needed, that person's going to find a way to get that gun. Okay, but at least can't we make it a little bit more difficult? Isn't the, like, this guy was apparently off the FBI's radar because he bought all those guns legally. Don't you think maybe something might have pinged him along the way if he is going through all these different loopholes to get the guns? If there are no loopholes there, it's going to look like you, me, your neighbor, anybody you know, just purchasing a gun.
Yeah, if it's difficult to purchase a gun, sometimes you might just, I mean, maybe it gives a person a little bit more time to think about what they're using that gun for, and maybe that can even deter, I mean, if that even deters one person who's going to use that gun for no good, then that's worth it. That is absolutely worth it.
I kind of reject that entire theory that that someone who wants to commit an atrocity will not be deterred if they really want to commit it. So there is.
Oh, fine. Just reject my point, Roger. Just reject it.
No, I agree with your point, but there's a study off of Great Britain in, it would have had to have been the 1800s. I don't know the exact years, so I'm sorry to anyone who's listening who wants to challenge this point, but there was a really high suicide rate in Great Britain in, let's say, the 1800s, but I might be wrong. And people were committing suicide by sticking their heads in these coal ovens, or gas ovens. They're sticking their heads in these ovens because the gas that would build up was enough to suffocate them and they would just die that way. And Great Britain eliminated that type of oven and the suicide rate just dropped. Like, people just didn't have that method by which to kill themselves, so they just didn't kill themselves. And I think that's applicable to this situation in that if people didn't have access to these guns that can do this amount of damage in X amount of time, maybe some of them would not commit these huge amounts of casualties on just these people who don't deserve it. And there's not really a way to prove this other than to pass some sort of legislation that would or some sort of study, something that would allow us to observe the effects of just changing some of the rules that surround gun sales. I don't know. It's a really tricky topic because you don't want to take away people's guns because you don't. It is one of their constitutional rights, but it's not. It's something that affects the lives of so many other people that you think. I think that's something that we should at least look into or debate with people that don't take money from this organization, the NRA, that benefits from more gun sales.
Yeah, the NRA is a terrorist organization. That's the way I'm seeing it now. But yeah, in regards to like the suicide stuff, I've actually been seeing that stuff all day in relation to this. That people don't really think about a large portion of gun deaths are in fact suicide deaths. And I'm not a licensed psychologist, but I mean a gun death is a pretty quick death. And like, if somebody wanted to commit suicide by gun compared to a suicide by jumping off a bridge, like, people have been talked off of jumping off a bridge before. So there is a chance for them to, I guess, take a second chance and think about something like that. And I feel like if you're determined to commit suicide by gunshot, it's instant. So there's not really a chance for you to think about it if you, you know, run into a room, grab the gun, and it's all over with. If that makes any sense. I know there's a little bit of time to possibly think about it, but I mean,
there is, but
it can be instantaneous.
To and from a Walmart or wherever, there's just so much access to an easy purchase of guns in this country that, like, it's not this huge shock that we have the highest suicide rate due to firearms in the world, and it's not particularly close. I think second is Uruguay, or like, it's somewhere in South America, and it's not close. We are leading by a large margin.
Yeah. I think we should move on to our next little bit here. But Quinn, do you have any last words you want to add?
Just my last thought on it would be, gonna try something else. What we're doing right now, just it's status quo isn't working.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, something's got to change, otherwise we're going to forget about this in a week and another mass shooting is going to happen because people are seeing this on TV and they're getting ideas and, yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the next portion of today's three-way pod chat. As I said at the top of this show, I am going to literally pick topics here from current events. Some will be a little bit on the heavier side, but I did throw in some light conversation topics, so we're gonna pick randomly out of a hat and we're gonna see what sort of topics we got. Let's start with number one. Ooh, seconds in today's topic of discussion is going to be Puerto Rico. So it doesn't get any more fun for this podcast because I am also pretty damn pissed about what's going on with our neighbors in Puerto Rico and fellow U.S. citizens. Does anybody want to start off before I explode about this topic?
Yeah, I can happily jump in here. Puerto Rico... Man, are we messing that up? And by we, do I mean our commander-in-chief? I want to start out by first saying that my sister's fiancé has got some family down in Puerto Rico, so I've been getting some updates. They're doing well. So mostly it's a lot of waiting in line, lines for gas for their generator, because they are still without electricity. Still without clean water. I hear from them kind of on and off. So they're safe, not fortunate for everyone. I'm sure you guys have seen the retweets of everybody in critical care that passed away because there's just no chance for them. We need to step up and do something. And as amazing as it is to see like JJ Barea taking the Mavericks team plane and flying down to Puerto Rico and these cruise ships and airline companies taking flights and trips down there with supplies, you know. This is why we pay taxes. Why do we have to make GoFundMe accounts for these things that should already be happening? These are citizens. These are relatives. These are people who, you know, are closely connected to many folks and the mainland, and it's time to step up. It has been time to step up. Again, there's amazing people there doing amazing work. We need to support them, and that starts right at the top for us with Donald Trump.
I would agree with that. I don't think anyone's really going to disagree with that. The president's handling of the aftermath of the hurricanes as they pertain to a U.S. territory have been shameful. Like, he's making it this political issue and tweeting about how the Democrats are telling the mayor of San Juan to be nasty to him. Like, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. These are citizens of the United States. They're not part of a state just because of the way that historical geopolitics have played out. Otherwise, it's in some alternate timeline, it's entirely possible Puerto Rico is a United States state. It's insane to me that these people who are U.S. citizens are somehow treated in this like second class way, like they don't matter and they don't have access to water or internet or electricity, gas drawn generators even, and he won't sign a form to allow international ships to ship emergency supplies there because it's some political thing and he doesn't want to look bad. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, and it's tragic. These people are on an island that just got hit by two enormous hurricanes in a row. There's not a reason to not help these people, and it's not even a partisan issue. You just look like a dick if you're not doing it, and Trump looks like a dick. This is not some political, it's very frustrating. It's frustrating to have this guy who takes everything personally as president, especially when people's lives are hanging in the balance and everyone in an ICU unit dies because they don't have enough supplies or they don't have enough electricity to make even one person live. It's frustrating and shameful.
Yeah, so Donald Trump completely just botches the response here. It's like Katrina all over again. Then he decides to just go on this random, like, rile up my base, like, war with the NFL instead, so people don't pay attention to his lack of response or lack of effort to be on, you know, be ahead, be leading the charge here with Puerto Rico. Even, you know, it is probably pretty difficult to, you know, assist as quickly as what could happen in, like, Houston or Florida, because those are countries that are, like, attached to the continental U.S., but that literally doesn't mean we can't fly planes or send ships and try to get there as quickly as possible, not wait days and, like, weeks at a time. And then he did a big thing, too, by giving the President's Cup or whatever that golf trophy was to the people of Puerto Rico. Whoever thought that was a good PR stunt needs to be fired. And
I'll tell you who thought of that. Donald Trump in the moment.
Oh my God. Probably. He probably went off script once again. But one, I wanted to bring up one of his tweets. It's when he went on that September 30th little Twitter tirade when he was talking about the Democrats telling the mayor of San Juan to be nasty to Trump, even though they don't have the same party system as us. Such poor leadership ability by the mayor of San Juan and others in Puerto Rico who are not able to get their workers to help. They want everything to be done for them when it should be a community effort. 10,000 federal workers now on island doing a fantastic job. Those are two separate tweets, and all they scream to me is a 1950s mentality and stereotype of a certain race being lazy and unmotivated to help. Like, that's exactly how that came off. It was strictly blatant racism, literally saying that the people of Puerto Rico are not gonna help themselves and that they're lazy and they want everything done for them. It's literally the same argument people use when they tell people that, well, black people should clean up their own neighborhoods first, or, well, what are they gonna do about black on black crime? They should pick themselves up. It's blatant racism. It's not, I mean, you kind of knew this was going to happen because it's Puerto Rico and Trump is, you know, to quote John Lovett, dotty old racist in decline. But it's just, it's not the way a president needs to act.
It's, in fact, the opposite of a way the president of the United States should act.
Case and point.
Because one territory is demographically less white than, let's say, New York or Wisconsin or one of the states he cares about, allegedly, like Ohio or Pennsylvania. It's just, it's shameful. Should we give a place to donate money so people possibly donate money?
Yeah, does anybody have one popped up?
I typed in Hurricane Maria into Google, which I'm sure 99% of you listening have on your phone. You just type Hurricane Maria into Google, and the third or fourth thing down says donate. Hit yes, donate, and you have an option of $5, $25, or $50. You can pick whatever amount you want. I just donated $25 live on the program, just because these people need our help. So it's on Google. It's very, very they make it incredibly easy to find for a reason. It's obviously one of the most worthy causes you can find right now.
Yeah, bringing light to the issues as we're trying to do and talk about them in an educated manner, it works, but also there needs to be action to be done. So good job by you, Roger.
Do my best.
All right, let's hit another topic. I'm shaking the topic hat here.
Should we pick a sports one?
If it comes out of the hat, Roger. Oh.
I was gonna say you need some nice happy transition music, but so far there hasn't been a happy transition.
This one might be a little bit more entertaining because we got one Hugh Hefner. So for listeners who don't know, Mr. Hugh Hefner passed away last week. The millionaire, billionaire, playboy founder or just owner, something like that. Yeah, he passed away last week. And yeah, any thoughts on Mr. Hugh Hefner?
Sorry. Look, I feel like in the online generation that we are all a part of, he's less of an icon than he was during his heyday. However, I mean, it's very hard to detract from the Playboy empire that he did found. I think it was during either the, I say it was the 60s. Am I on Google right now trying to find this out? But he started this thing where, I mean, he created this magazine for guys who want to see naked women, which is maybe not the most genteel thing to talk about, but he is an icon of America. I mean, the Playboy Mansion is this thing that people know, this guy's specific house. We watched, all of us watch Entourage, and it was this place where it was cool to go and party, and it was like that for decades. And to lose someone like this, I mean, he's 91, it's not this huge shock. It is sad. I mean, he's this American icon, so it's a bit of a bummer, but he's 91. So rest in peace, Hugh Hefner.
Quinn, anything? You like you like the articles, or?
Not the biggest Hugh Hefner fan, personally. I think he's kind of creepy.
It got to a point where it was creepy.
I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I mean,
look, it sounded like I was a big fan just now. I don't want it to sound like I didn't think that some 90-year-old dude hitting on 30-year-olds was not creepy.
I think people are really complicated. I'm sure he did a lot of wonderful, nice things, but the being buried next to Marilyn Monroe for all of eternity is super creepy. And then when you read the backstory on she's how he started the boy by leaking her nudes without her permission, makes it even worse for me. So seeing those stories, I didn't know that that is how Playboy started. Seeing those stories after his passing has further tainted him in my image, or mine, not my image. Not a big Hugh Hefner fan. Sorry to folks I know. I received a lot of RIP legend texts and tweets, and sure, rest in peace, but it's creepy that he's resting next to Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I have to admit, I did tweet that he was a legendary stickman. I mean, in some regards, yeah, but then I also read a BuzzFeed article by Holly Madison. She was one of the three girlfriends, playmates that were on that E! Show. I forget what it was called. You would know it with the Kendra and the other one that's not as famous. She wrote a book, and apparently she had some stories about how she was, like, depressed, and Hugh Hefner was, like, super controlling about their appearance, and if they lived there, sex was, like, an expectation, and he would have quaaludes, and she didn't know how he got a hold of quaaludes, because I don't know. There was this perception of Hugh Hefner, and then apparently there was this other side according to her. So that kind of, I don't know, that tainted the image for sure. I don't know what to think of Hugh Hefner, and because he was just this old dude that had a lot of women around. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of weird.
People are complicated. I wish the best for his family and his estate, and I'm sure he's actually done a lot of good. I'm sure he's done charitable work.
He's helped inspire lots of Halloween costumes.
Lots and lots of boners for teenage boys, at least.
Yeah.
The high usage rate.
I'm sure he's a big figure for a lot of people's lives. All that being said, I'm out on Hugh Hefner.
not in on the Playboy stock anymore. All right, let's grab another topic here. I swear I'm not looking at these beforehand. Oh, I already did that one.
We have Skype video going, and both Quinn and I can confirm that Jordan's presently pulling these out of a hat.
I don't really want to talk about this one, but we can talk about this one. Cause
let's do a rapid fire one.
Let's just burn through this one. It's the GOP tax plan.
Oh man, I can't burn through that one.
Basically, what the GOP tax plan is a giant tax cut for the rich. It reduces the tax maximum from 39.5% or something like that down to a base 35 and raises it the minimum from 10% to 12%. So it is essentially taxing the middle class and giving the rich a tax break. So what do we think of that?
I've got the Bernie Sanders talking points here real quick.
Feel the burn.
So first of all, tax cut for the rich cuts the estate tax. So what does that actually mean?
Oh yes.
Who is the estate tax? Is that like that random millionaire that you don't really know who lives down the street but owns every single farm in town? No, it's not him. Guess what? It's like a handful of people, basically. 99.8% of Americans do not benefit from that cut. So,
can I jump in for a second?
Yeah.
Sorry. The exclusion amount presently for the estate tax is $5.43 million. So if your estate is worth more than that, it gets taxed at 40%. Any amount beyond $5.43 million gets taxed at 40%. Anything below that does not get taxed at all.
So it's not like affecting, my mom and dad. That's for sure. I mean, they've done well for themselves, but I don't think they've got an estate that they need to be worried about being taxed. I think that's, for me, being born and raised in middle-class America, we all think we're really well off, and these tax cuts are benefiting us, and this one is just, it's not. It's clearly a tax cut for the wealthiest of the wealthy. It's the Waltons, it's the Koch brothers. That's who this tax plan is written for.
I would agree. It's not just the estate tax for me. Obviously, the estate tax is an enormous component of this tax plan. I mean, when Trump goes on air and says he's not going to get any benefit from this, but it eliminates this tax that is going to give his kids literally billions with a B of dollars. It's not just a blatant lie, but it's just a slap in the face. These people are going to get 80%+ of the benefit of this tax cut, and the average American family is going to get hundreds or thousands of dollars. It's not going to be both. It's just duplicitous. The minimum tax rate goes from 10% to 12%, and the deduction amount go for multiple children gets eliminated. So if you have more than two children, you would effectively pay more in taxes because you have fewer deductions. So it doesn't lower your income enough. My inner accountant is coming out, and I think you guys can hear it. Essentially, this is not good for the average American with more than two children is not good for the average American generally, especially in comparison to people who have millions or billions of dollars. The higher income you have, the higher net worth you have, the better this is for you generally. And this comes, I think it's a 5.8 trillion or billion. It's a very large tax cut. We have much fewer national revenues as a result of this proposed plan, and that comes at the expense of health programs, not the military, even though, I mean, at some point, if we have fewer revenues, we're going to have to cut that at some point. I mean, there's just a fewer revenues. We're going to have to spend less, and that's going to come at the expense of every taxpayer in some form or another.
Yeah, that's another thing I was going to say, is that they don't know how they're going to pay for this tax plan, because obviously cutting a large portion of the money away and giving it back to billionaires and trillionaires is not going to be helpful, and that money has to be supplemented somehow, so it's not going to cut into the deficit. And Elizabeth Warren actually touched on this too. They, if this would pass, they would eventually find this out, that it's not reducing the deficit, and that they would, like you said, Roger, have to cut into other programs and use that as an excuse to, you know, dip into Social Security, Medicare, you know, things that people actually need, just to subsidize people with highest percentage of income in the United States. And yeah, Republicans are already kind of coming out against it, because for the math just doesn't add up.
I had heard, I think it was on one of the PodSave podcasts, 2.8, God, I want to say trillion. It's a large amount of money, of this tax cut is going to come from eliminating tax credits, which primarily people who are not millionaires or billionaires are the people who are eligible for these. So it's like the earned income tax credit, where if you make under a certain amount of money, you get a certain amount of money back in a refundable tax credit, where this money goes above and beyond what your income is, so you get more money back. So the people who have a little bit less income generally will get a little bit bigger of a tax refund than they otherwise would have, and that helps with things like paying rent or paying electricity or buying your kids' school supplies. It's not a ton of money, but it's enough that it makes life a little easier, which I think is generally what liberal Democrats strive for government to do. It's not to make life harder, it's just to make life a little bit easier for the average American, and this does not help that aim in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, what do Americans do when they get their tax return? They use it on goods and services and pump that money back into the economy. So, you know, I don't know. Good tax plan. Good job by Donald Trump for leading the way on that one. I'm sure he did all the math himself with a big crayon. Should we do another topic?
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Shaking. Come on, get us a fun topic. God, this is so... The news.
Pick these topics.
I did write these topics. I gotta sprinkle in something better next time. Ah, here we go. A little NBA action. Carmelo, the trade to Oklahoma City. So he's finally free from the shackles of Madison Square Garden and James Dolan. Any thoughts, even though the NBA preseason just tipped off?
Yeah, I mean, Sam Presti already locked up GM of the year. It's his going away at this point. He was already leading with the Paul George trade. What did he turn, like, Victor Oladipo and I don't even remember who else into Carmelo and Paul George? It's pretty amazing.
One of their rookies, I think.
Sabonis? Is
yeah.
He still there? I think he's...
I think they traded him to the Pacers for PG.
Well, I mean, that's an amazing job by Presti to to not only bring in Paul George, but to sneak away Carmelo to OKC, waive the trade clause, to play with Russ and PG. Man, the West is going to be fun. Looking forward to it. I don't know how, I mean, I would like to always defer to great players. We'll find a way to play together. In terms of the offense, an NBA offense, I don't really have any worries that they're all ball dominant or anything like that. I think great players playing together will figure it out. So I'm excited.
I have fewer thoughts. So I'm not the biggest NBA guy, but I do think that it will be cool to have more really good players on another team in the West, especially since OKC definitely already had. I mean, Westbrook's going to be good, PG's going to be great, and I think it's going to be really cool to see how they gel together and how they play against Golden State. I mean, they're obviously the number one team in the West. It'll be interesting in 2 years when LeBron goes West to see how all these teams play against each other. And if nothing else, it just kind of makes the East. I don't think Carmelo was this world beater, but I think it does make the East. It's going to be the Celtics and the Cavs again. I think everyone basically knows that that's going to be how the East is going to shake out. And this just makes the West a little bit more interesting as another storyline. I don't know. It should be fun. The NBA appears to be a more fun league to follow in terms of just being a fan of the sport, not worrying about players dying of CTE generally, like, than the NFL. So it should be interesting to see how this shakes out.
Yeah, I think it's a win for both teams, to be honest. I like that Carmelo has already come out and said, like, he is willing and going to play the four in Oklahoma City, which I think is great because he is a great scorer who's big but has quick feet and can beat people as a small ball four. I wouldn't even know if I would call him a small ball four anymore because everybody else is playing people who are even smaller at the four position in the NBA. But it'll be great to see him, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook just lighting it up. Not sure if there'll be enough basketballs on the court for all of them, but, you know, it's like Quinn said, great players find a way. And I also like this for the Knicks. The Knicks, they got rid of Phil Jackson. They moved on from Carmelo Anthony. I'm not going to say they got rid of him, but now they can finally start, like, a fresh rebuild and have the offense run through Kristaps Porzingis, who is a great player, the Latvian gangbanger, and they just gotta wait for Joakim Noah's contract to get off the books, and they'll be doing some things in New York, hopefully.
Yeah, it feels like they have a direction established, instead of being stuck in la-la limbo land. Excited for Knicks fans to see where they're headed, even though it's probably going to be to the tank for a couple seasons. But rather be there than stuck at middling. So good for New York, good for OKC, good for the NBA.
Yeah, and when LeBron goes to Los Angeles next season, I can't wait for it to just be the Milwaukee Bucks battling the Boston Celtics for East supremacy for the next couple of years. Unless the Miami Heat do something, they're always a candidate to lure a free agent because Miami is Miami. So, go Bucks, though. Can't wait. Giannis, MVP.
I think Giannis can snap Kyrie in half if he really wants to.
Dude, Giannis has been getting yoked. He is a big guy now. Any last thoughts on the Thunder, even though we tailspun into a Bucks rant?
Last thoughts on the Thunder. I'm excited for people to see how good Carmelo Anthony is at putting the ball in the hole. Gonna go get some buckets.
Dude, I've been a big fan of Melo since he was at Syracuse. I love Carmelo Anthony. I don't care if people thought he was a ball hog in New York or if he forced himself to New York a few months too early. Carmelo Anthony is good at basketball, and I think with the Thunder, we are going to get the closest version to Captain America, Team USA Melo as possible. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
Do you guys want more super teams? One more?
I kind of wanted the Rockets to land Melo. I thought that was like a for sure thing that was going to happen. As far as super teams go, I don't know. I mean, screw the Thunder, because, I mean, just screw them, because Kevin Durant took the easy way out. I get it. He's a player. He makes his own decisions. I respect that, but also, like, come on. Come on, KD. Stop creating fake Twitter accounts and joining super teams.
I didn't realize that that was a real thing, that he was actually created. Like, I thought someone just made that up, and it was like one of those Twitter in-jokes, but he's actually creating fake Twitter accounts to go after people? That's insane. You're like one of the top two best NBA players. I don't feel like... Who's the second best player when MJ was playing? Would they have done that to do whatever KD thinks that he's doing? That's just nuts to me.
I have no idea. Like, that's like a next level thin skin type of thing to do, to go on and like comment to other people. Like, I can see Donald Trump doing that for sure, but when you're like actually good at your job and one of the best people in the world at your job, I don't think you have to do that at all.
Super goofy.
Well, I think we're getting close to the end here, but I drew a fun one for the final. Something we'll like to talk about. Mitch Trubisky, named starter of the Chicago Bears. What do we think of Mitch Trubisky as three people from the Midwest, two out of three being Packers fans? Full disclosure.
Go Pack, go. I'm a fan in many, many ways. Okay, just two ways. My primary motive for being a fan of this is that it's a rookie quarterback, and they never do that well, with the exception of, I don't know, Dak Prescott was pretty good, but he obviously still needs to develop a fair amount. So I don't think that the Bears will be a threat to the Packers. I don't think they're going to be anyway, but if nothing else, it'll be interesting to watch a talented rookie on a team with a decent defense play. I don't think that there's going to be any limits that they're going to really give him. They're probably going to dumb down their offense a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see them let Trubisky run the offense, and I think that's better and more interesting than Mike Glennon, who sucks. He's documented as not being a great quarterback, so it'll be interesting to have another variable, I guess, in the NFL instead of Mike Glennon, who I don't think anyone thought he was going to be a long-term starter.
Definitely a bridge.
Yeah, absolutely a bridge. Are you guys concerned at all for, just if you're a Trubisky fan, are you concerned that that bridge didn't stretch a little bit longer just to continue to protect Trubisky, protect his development as an NFL player?
I'm conflicted on this answer because he doesn't have the Bears' top two receivers. That would have been at the, you know, wide receiver one and two spots. So he's not really throwing to anybody. He does have a legit backfield to take some pressure off of him, but if you're not having any receivers, it's kind of hard to make the most out of the game reps that you're getting. So I'm not sure how effective that's going to be. I always feel like, you know, the best way to get experience and to get better is to throw quarterbacks and maybe even rookies into situations in which they have to compete against other teams, and not at practice where they're wearing a red jersey and they can't be hit. So they I don't know. I feel like you need the game reps.
Yeah, I mean, it's either going to end up very well, like he's going to be a pretty good quarterback for a long time, or he's going to suck and get benched in 3 years. So it is a high variance play, but I think if you're the Bears, you'd rather know if the guy you just drafted is going to be a long-term starter right now. Right now being this season, not like this next week, but right now, if this guy is going to be your solution for quarterback, instead of 3 years from now where he's just getting the start, you don't really know how good he is. You don't know how good his arm quality is. You don't know if he can go through his progressions at quarterback. I don't know. I think it's better to know where you're at right now instead of down the road, just so you know if at the end of this next season you should draft a quarterback, if you should draft a lineman to protect him, if you should draft defense to keep stacking up on that end of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he should be playing. I think he's much better than Glennon. I look at it from having the Jared Goff experience last year as a Rams fan. I was pushing hard for Goff like every single week after Case Keenum had his big blow-up game against Detroit. He went into a tailspin of throwing terrible interceptions, and it just seemed like at this point, it's time to get Goff out there and develop him, and we're already at that point with Glennon where it's really, really bad. It's really bad offense, and it's time for Trubisky. I think the Bears have a better line than the Rams did. I think running game's probably even better than the Rams running game was last year. So I think he's got support. I'm concerned, yes, with the wide receivers. The Bears don't have much due to injury in that department, which makes it difficult, absolutely, for a young quarterback to not have his weapons. Ask DeShone Kizer how he feels right now, not having Corey Coleman and instead having halfway motivated Kenny Britt. It's certainly tough, and I'm sure he's going to throw quite a few picks, but I think in the long run this helps his development. In the long run of the Bears franchise, I think this also pushes John Fox out, just like Jeff Fisher last year. Which makes me really curious, why do general managers draft quarterbacks when they don't have the coach that quarterback will actually be playing for the next, hopefully, continuation of his career already in place? It seems odd to me that you would ever want to draft a quarterback, have them learn a playbook, and obviously setting John Fox up to be fired in the meantime.
Yeah, I think it's a power struggle, and just like with coach and GM, if they're not in there together, it can be just a big dick swinging competition. Actually, this is a good chance for me to talk about HBO's Ballers. Spoiler alert: if you haven't watched this season, there was just a feud between the Dolphins coach on Ballers and their GM, like an actual physical altercation happened because neither of those guys were on the same page. They didn't like each other and they had different ideas about personnel moves, but then would turn around and sign another player out of spite. Anyhow, I think that might be a pretty accurate description in some ways about how NFL front office relationships can go with the coaching staff. And when GMs are hired, I really believe from the coaching staff to the actual draft picks that they make, the GMs want their guys in there. Like, they want the people that their scouts picked, that they may have personally had a hand in signing in free agency, that sort of thing. So I think it's a power struggle, and as we've seen over the past couple seasons, Chicago does not have the most stable of front offices.
I'd agree with that.
Yes. I had another thought, too. Oh, yeah, shouts to my boy Dan Przybylski. We were actually talking about this the day before Trubisky was named the starter. We were talking about how it was going to be a job-saving move for John Fox in an attempt to elongate his career there in Chicago, because if they keep on performing badly, he can kind of just say, well, I put the rookie in, like, he's a rookie, what do you expect? He's not going to win me games. And maybe it buys John Fox another season or another couple games just this year.
It seems extremely transparent to me as a move. I mean, Glennon, as I said, looked bad. He looked he had a couple really dumb looking turnovers, and I'm sure part of that was on the center for snapping it off Glennon's knee. But yeah. I mean, anytime I've seen that happen to, it seems unfair to compare it to Aaron Rodgers. He'll catch it, you know, at his knee because he's a professional athlete and that's his job. And Glennon just let it, this last game, he let one of the snaps bounce off his knee and it went into the defensive backfield. It was one of the easiest fumble recoveries by the defense I've ever seen. And it just seemed very obvious at that point that they should at least give Trubisky a start, especially in a game that they were losing and appeared to have already lost by halftime at that point. I'll be interested to see how this goes. I don't know how much time it'll buy John Fox, but I don't think that he was given the best situation. I don't think he made the situation that much better, but I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think it's more interesting to have a rookie quarterback in than it is to have a proven quarterback who's not going to be a starter on most teams.
Yeah, our favorite version of Tony Romo pointed that out too. Our favorite version being announcer Tony Romo. He pointed out that play where am I right? Did he point out that play?
I'm just saying I love Tony Romo, the QB.
Oh, where Glennon actually, he wasn't as pronounced enough with a knee raise before the snap, and the guard is the one that's supposed to watch out for if he raises it or not. That, I guess that might mean to give him a few more seconds before snapping the ball because Glennon is making adjustments. But the guard did not see any sort of raise until after he turned his head back and had motioned for the center to snap the ball. So that's one of those things that a professional quarterback has to be on top of. And Glennon is getting paid like a starter, even though he is a solid backup.
Yeah, I think that, that play itself is mind-blowing. Tony Romo's breakdown of how that fumble occurred. I had no idea, but that knee pump, sending the guy or with the snap count being tied to it, ended up causing the fumble. I think it's still Mike Glenn's third start, so it certainly sucks a little bit for him that that's probably his first time on the road in that situation, and now probably won't get the chance to learn from that. That's the NFL, sure. Though. Best of luck to him in future endeavors.
Hey, he's making good money, so it's not all bad in Mike Glennon's world. He's cutting that check.
This is another reminder that Colin Kaepernick should have a job. He's better than certainly Mike Glennon, who is just, I can't obviously speak about Trubisky yet, but good God.
How about Oakland?
Yeah, Oakland.
Oakland needs a sub.
He's familiar with the Bay Area.
Derek Carr out 2 to 6 weeks.
Well, as long as we're talking about rookie QBs too, you know, shouts to Deshaun Watson tearing it up in H-Town. 5 touchdowns this past weekend. Kid is an animal. And I was all in on him from the beginning, and I hope he doesn't let me down.
You think he will?
I mean, one explosive game is great. Well, yeah, the one before that was pretty good too. But at the same time, it's more how you react. Like Dak Prescott this year, when people actually get a full season's worth of tape on you. So I'm thinking next season down the road for Deshaun Watson. Yeah, he may continue to light it up this year as a rookie because people don't have a lot of film on you. They don't know how to react to, you know, what some of your bad habits are and to capitalize off of them. But, yeah, I hope he learns some new tricks to stay ahead of the curve. How are we doing on time?
Call says 1:34, 1:35.
I'm probably going to just have to dip to finish a little work here. Man, I'm a little worried that Sean Kizer might be done after this year, guys.
He threw a lot of interceptions so far.
I mean, they don't have any weapons left in Cleveland. Just talking rookie QBs since we've mentioned the other two and Pat Mahomes still sit on the bench, but talking just rookie QBs in general, I was certainly really high on Kizer. Still am, but I'm starting to be concerned that if their season doesn't turn a little bit, he's going to end up with another quarterback in that QB room, like a Sam Darnold next year. And that certainly won't help his development.
Dude, this is like the biggest fuck you season from Alex Smith. He's like, oh, you're going to trade up and draft a rookie QB to eventually supplant me? Hell no, I'm going to throw over 75% completion and drop tutties all over the field to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I love it. Alex Smith, he's looking like an animal. MVP.
Ease up on that.
No. I'll let you in on the bandwagon later if you want.
I think he's really good. Like they obviously keep winning, but he's not the MVP. He's not. He had four touchdowns the first game, and then one, then two, and then one. This game that just ended a couple hours ago, and he did have a rushing touchdown, but I just don't. As a Aaron Rodgers purist, I cannot root for Alex Smith, who got drafted first. That just doesn't. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Well, we might be breaching on a different podcast discussion topic, but like a quarter of the way through the season, who's the MVP so far?
Let's pull up the fantasy scores. Let's see who's.
It's Aaron Rodgers running away with it right now.
I mean, he is doing some pretty good things.
We're obviously all going to sound very homery here, but I mean, when you talk about
Jared Goff,
if you talk about the value of a player, like the most valuable player, the Packers are like 0-4 without Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to win many games, and he's single-handedly not just been like one of the best QBs as everyone expected, but he won the game for them versus the Bengals. He's magic. It's insane.
Well, that's how it's been for years. Like, he's not backed by someone like Bill Belichick, who is going to throw in like Garoppolo and still win 3 out of 4 games if Rodgers were to get hurt or something like that. So,
are you telling me Mike McCarthy is a bad coach?
He's not the greatest play caller. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, because there's a lot of aspects to coaching that we just don't see on our TVs on Sunday, but I don't really like his play calling all the time.
I am being a little bit facetious. If he got fired by the Packers, he'd have another job the next day for some other team.
The Browns.
The Browns are going to, they're probably going to need a new. I don't know who the MVP is. I want to say Kareem Hunt, because he's been lighting it up at a record pace akin to Cadillac Williams. I'm not sure what his numbers look like this night here for Monday Night Football. I'm not sure they were that great, but he's been a difference maker. Yeah, MVP is tough. I don't think anybody's really played to their abilities, not even one Tom Brady in his avocado ice cream.
Really high in mono unsaturated fats, which explains why he's so good this late into his career.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think that is a good place to stop. We still have a lot of topics in that hat, so maybe if some of them are still relevant, we can do another one maybe later this week or so. But the news cycle is fast, so things change. Hopefully more fun things will happen, more lighthearted things. Again, we want to extend our deep condolences, our thoughts and prayers to the victims and families of those involved in the Las Vegas massacre. Hopefully we have some answers for those families as well as to what's going to be done. I want to thank you all for listening to the Pod Chat show. Again, you can catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Trying to get it up on Spotify yet. I haven't heard anything back. They're not returning my texts. They're ghosting me. You can catch me on the Twitters, the social medias, at Jordan_Smith27. Catch my writing on a weekly basis at acmepackingcompany.com and faketeams.com. I'm going to try to get something a little bit more fun posted on Define Print as well pretty soon, boys. I don't know if you guys are working on anything, but Twitter handles, plugs, what do you guys got?
You can follow me on Twitter, again, at Rog, R-O-G, underscore, Podge, P-O-D-G-E, or at Buster in Bowties on Instagram.
Follow the cat Instagram.
Honestly, it's worth it.
Follow for a follow. Quinn here. You can find me on Twitter at HelloQuinny, Q-U-I-N-N-Y. Giving that out, which means I need to actually stop retweeting everybody else and just start making some of my own tweets, because I don't think I've done that in a long time. So I'll get on that. I'll try to entertain or just clog up your feed with some retweets as I have been. Otherwise, that's all I've got to plug right now.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for allowing us to have this vent session about certain topics and ideas that we text to each other, and our fingers are burning, throwing out those fire takes, and allowing us to rant to you. Don't forget to subscribe. You can rate us if that's your thing as well. Thanks for coming on, guys. Thanks for recording this tonight.
Thanks for having us, man.
You bet. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, let's do this again soon. Again, this is the Pod Chat show. Play us out, Mr. Ryan Crone.